think they wanted to stay. Yeah. Well, good morning. It's so good to be back with you again. Know that we are continuing to pray for the chapel. We know some of the challenges that you are facing. We are at our assembly facing similar, but God is able. Faithful is he who called you, the word of God says, who will also do it. God finishes what he starts. We're actually going to maybe address that a little bit today as we go through. It's a privilege to be a part of this study in the book of Genesis. And again, we just thank God for the opportunity to be with you and to share some things that God has laid on our hearts regarding this passage. When Jeremy called me and asked me if I could come, and he gave me the passage he wanted me to deal with this morning, I was like, oh man, what in the world can I do with that? This stuff is crucial, amen, to what we believe. You got to accept this if you're going to accept the rest of it. God has a plan. God has a plan when he started the creation. God has an end game that he has for this world and for those who he's placed in it and on it. So we look forward to see what God is saying to us today. We have some brothers at our assembly who we are mentoring, and they just can't wait to get behind the pulpit. Boy, they don't know. I don't know if I would say I like teaching. The first time I stood before a group of people with my Bible open, I was a teenager. Someone saw something in me that they felt needed to be cultivated, and so we've been doing this for a while. But I'll tell you, it is always, I was telling John, he agrees, every time I do this, it's with fear and trembling. It may seem like, something that I enjoy, but I kind of feel like this is one of those things woe is me if I don't, kind of thing. So again, we're grateful for being here. Let's ask God's blessings upon our time. Father, we again do thank you for this opportunity to be in your word, Lord. We know, Father, that we of ourselves have no ability to effectively communicate your word. It's alive and it's powerful and it's able to change people. And Lord, that doesn't come through the eloquence of speech, but it comes through the power of your spirit. And so we thank you this morning for the presence of your spirit, whose ministry it is to lead us and to guide us into all truth. And so we pray this morning, Lord, that you would just anoint afresh your servant, that your people might receive what it is that you want them to receive. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Story of creation, the story of the commencement and the process and the completion of God's work. As I read the passage before I began to get into it, it's a lot of facts here. But we don't want this this morning, and certainly I believe I can speak for all the speakers, we don't want this just to be a presentation of a lot of facts. There's a lot of science here. But I believe that the story of creation is as much, if not more, theology than it is science. Like John said last week, those of us who come behind somebody else, we don't want to re-preach what they've preached or reteach what they've taught. But I do want to give this a little bit of context. So in day one, Jeremy, in his introduction, Jeremy talked about how God exists independently of time and space and matter. That none of that stuff existed before God. Elohim, the supreme powerful one. I think about the awesomeness of God, and I am reminded of a conversation that he had with Job in chapter 38. When he asked Job, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Who determined its measurements? To what were its foundations fastened, or who shut up the seas with doors? When I said, this far you may come, but no further. Have you entered the springs of the sea, or have you walked in search of the depth? We're talking about the great and awesome God that created everything that we see and have today. And I believe that God wasn't saying this stuff to Job just to put him in his place. I think because of what Job was going through, he wanted to remind Job, and I believe he wants to remind us also today, that whatever it is that you're going through, remember, you serve the God of heaven, who is able to do exceedingly and abundantly far above all that you could ask or think. Whatever you're going through this morning, in your wildest imagination, you have no idea how God will cause this thing to work out for your good, because you love him and are called according to his purpose. God is the source of everything that exists. The Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Nothing in the earth or the heavens existed before God created it. The brother talked about that word, bara. You know, it just may seem so, you know, why are we dealing with these original words, and what does it really matter? These things are so important, because the Bible says that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. So that means that every word of scripture is God inspired. And so if God chose to use a particular word to convey his truth to us in one place and choose another word to convey his truth to us in another place, it is crucial to understand what God is saying. And so this word bara is always, and every time it's used, it is always used in connection with God. God does things that nobody else can do. God created the heavens and the earth. He did not use pre-existing materials, because prior to the act of creation, nothing existed except God. Jeremy talked about in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He talked about the fact that at the beginning, there was the existence of the triune God, the Trinity, or triunity, if you will. The Bible says in John 1, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. The Bible also says that at that time, the Spirit of God was present, because the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters, or brooding over the face of the waters. I mean, I don't know what significance this might have for you, but I always found it very interesting in the story of creation that before the first recorded words that God ever spoke, we have this activity by the Spirit of God, who is hovering or brooding, you know, like a bird broods over her chicks. The Spirit of God was actively moving even before we have the first recorded words of God saying, let there be light. And so again, we see clearly that the Trinity was present at the beginning of creation. Deuteronomy chapter 32 says, as an eagle stirs up his nest or hovers over its young, spreading out its wings, taking them up, carrying them on his wings. We know why birds hover over their young. It's to protect them. It's to make sure that they get everything that they need, so that when they are able to fly and it's time for them to fly, they will be able to do that. And that's what the Spirit of God does for us. So we have this activity by the Spirit of God even before the first recorded words of God speaking. Is it possible that those of us who are wanting to hear God speak to us, whether it be through his word or whether it be something specific that he wants us to do, is it possible that before God will speak to us, we need to allow the Spirit of God to brood over our lives and to do what he wants to do with us and in us, bringing out the fruit of that Spirit, the love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. All of this we see here, well, at least I saw anyway, as I was studying here in the book of Genesis. On day 2 and 3, our brother Danny talked about the light. And he asked that age-old question about, well, if God said let there be light on the first day, then what was that light that was created on day 4, the sun, moon, and the stars? And Brother John did such an excellent job last week. I've been following you. Excellent job last week differentiating between the light and the light holders. The Word of God has so much to say about the light. So many passages of Scripture talk about the light. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. There shall come a star out of Jacob. The people that walk in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, have shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. God said, God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. What a great study it's been up until now. And so, up to this point, God has formed, and God has fashioned, and now God is going to begin to fill. If you came to visit me, and you're more than welcome anytime, just call before you come. But if you came to me, to visit me, you would immediately discover some things about me by the things that fill my home. If you walked into my house, the first thing you're going to see is the living room. And if you look at my entertainment center, the first thing you're going to say is, wow, this guy likes music and TV. My furniture is modern. The color scheme is muted. Taupes and ivories and beiges, colors that I want people, when they come into my home, to relax and feel warm and to feel safe. My kitchen is modern. Yeah, I don't have one of those kind of rustic, country style kitchens. So you would learn some things about me immediately because of the things you see that I have filled my home with. Likewise, when we consider the creation story and all that God has chose to populate this world, we learn much about him as we study what I call the gospel according to Genesis. So we're going to begin in verse 20. This is day 5 and 6. We have day 5. Everything on day 4 was a matter of God taking something that had already been created and rearranging or reforming it so that it would be what he wanted it to be. He told us about that word last week, bara. And it means that something that has already been formed, God is now forming something out of that. He's reforming it or rearranging it into something that was already made. But see, now in day 5, what we're going to see is that God is now going to begin to create something different. The Hebrew word bara means the creation of something new, something that had never existed before. It's the creation of something out of nothing. Nothing. Imagine. There's nothing. And God, by the power of his word and by the word of his power, creates something out of nothing, something that had never existed before. No material, no matter, no substance, absolutely nothing whatsoever except the power of God's word. Boy, that's power. And God's word is still powerful today. The Bible says that the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ can save who would ever believe. Paul writes, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to all of those who would believe, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. The word of God still has power today. The book of Hebrews says God's word is alive and it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and joints in the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. God's word is still powerful today. God's word can cleanse. Book of Psalms says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By heeding thereunto according to thy word. God's word is as powerful today as it was when he spoke in creation and said, let there be light. That is why it is so important for us to study God's word. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, workmen that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And so as I, there's two words, John, that come to mind when I read this passage here this particular portion. And it's the words structure and symmetry. Structure, creation is arranged and organized according to a plan. This thing wasn't haphazard. You know, God wasn't just, riffing or shooting in the dark. Creation has structure. It also has symmetry. In creation, there's balance and there's harmony. There's a reason why God did say things a certain way. For example, day one relates to day four. In day one, God created light. And on day four, God created celestial bodies and the light holders. It has structure and balance and harmony. Day two relates to day five. On day two, God formed the skies and the waters. And then on day five, he formed the birds and the sea creatures. So God creates on day five the sky and the waters, and then on day, then he makes sure that there's something that he wants to occupy that space. Day three relates to day six. On day three, he creates the land and its inhabitants. Structure, symmetry, organization. I think Jeremy said, and I agree, it takes more faith not to believe the hand of God than it takes to believe the hand of God. You've heard that story. They say if you took all the pieces of a watch and put them in a bag, man, you could shake it from now until the cows come home and you never have a watch. The reality is God is the God of order. He's the God of structure. He's the God of symmetry. So let's start there in verse 20. Verses 20 through 23, God is going to create this creation of birds and fish and water creatures. Now, what God creates now is totally different than anything that has been created up until this point. God is about to create living creatures. Let's begin in verse 20. Then God said, "Let the waters abound with an abundance of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the face of the firmament of the heaven." So God created, that's that same word in verse 1, great sea creatures and every living thing that moves. Notice the progression. God first creates plant life, and then God creates living creatures. There's a progression here. As much as you love plants and all that, they don't move. They're not animated like animals are. And so God is beginning to progress. So God creates, it says, there are great sea creatures and every living thing that moves, with which the waters abounded, according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Again, God created bara. There was nothing already in the water that God used to create the fish. There was nothing in the air that God used to produce the birds. God created everything bara. God is creating again something out of nothing except the power of his word. It's God's command that created both sea and air creatures. It says there in the verse, great sea creatures and every living thing that moves with which the waters abounded. These sea creatures would include whales and crocodiles and sharks. One of the Hebrew words is actually sea monsters. It's every living thing that moves. There is not a creature in the water or in the air that God did not create bara out of nothing. All that makes up the animal, the chemicals, the flesh, the molecules, the DNA, bara, God created out of nothing. The Bible says here also in verse 21, that God creates according to their kind, every winged bird according to its kind, and God saw that it was good. Scientists estimate that there are over 11,000 species of birds and close to 8 million species of animals. Think about the beauty and the variety of water creatures. The Bible uses that word abound. It means to swarm. The waters were teeming with life. Everything from the humpback whale to the zooplankton, which can only be seen under a microscope. God is a God of beauty and variety. And when he creates, he creates. Watch this. Dolphins can turn off half their brain and keep one eye open while they're asleep. When God creates, he creates. Sea cucumbers can hide from predators by liquefying and solidifying themselves at will. Lobsters have longer lifespans than both cats and dogs. They can live for over 20 years unless red lobster gets a hold of them. The bobtail godwit can fly over the entire length of the Pacific Ocean. Parrots can talk. The bald eagle can soar over 10,000 feet into the air only using air currents. Fly, eagles fly. Bible says that they were created after their kind. All of these things were created after their kind. This means that all of the creatures have the ability to reproduce themselves and carry on its species and to bring forth the same kind of animal, the same kind of life as the parent animal to propagate their own species. That's what the word kind means. It speaks of species. On day five, God didn't necessarily have to make every kind of dog, you know, from the Doberman to the Pekingese. But God made a species that was able to propagate, was able to bring forth the same kind of animal. They can be crossbreeding. We have that. But a labradoodle is still a dog. And I won't spend too much time trying to disprove the theory of evolution, because all of us know that you cannot get a man from a monkey, because everything produces after its own kind. Psalm 104 says this: O Lord, how manifold are your works. In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your possessions. This great and wide sea in which are innumerable teeming things, living things both great and small. When God creates, he creates. Verse 21 said that when God created, the Bible says that God saw that it was good. Several nuances to this word good. It means better. It means agreeable. It means pleasant. It means appropriate. It means excellent. My favorite is better. It's almost like God would do something and then he would say, that's better. That's better. Interesting. Every time God creates, every time God was involved with the earth, every time God touched the earth, it was better than it was before. And since we are made in his image, is it not true that as we interact with each other, that we should, if you're going to interact with somebody, they should be better than they were before you interacted with them. You all should leave here today better than you were in some way because of the fact that I had an opportunity to interact with you. And so one of the things I believe about us being made into the image of God is that we should be reflecting the character of God. And so if everything that God touches is better after he touches it, then that's the way I want it to be in my life. God said that it was good. Can you picture this planet without birds and without fish? You know, John, the same way that you feel about plant life is the way I feel about sea life. One of the things on my bucket list was to swim with dolphins. When God gave me the opportunity to do that, man, I was like a kid. I had to pinch, but I could not believe what I was seeing. I just love aquatic life. That's why, you know, I'll go on a cruise just to go someplace and snorkel. And when I have that snorkel mask on and I'm under the water and I'm seeing the beautiful life that God has created, it just thrills me. We've lost that wonder of creation. When we go outside and see a beautiful sunrise or go to a garden or go to Longwood Gardens or and see what God has created. We've kind of lost that wonder of creation, but it is a tremendous thing that God has done for us. And the reality is, I believe we're going to see that everything God was doing, he had us in mind. God wasn't creating flowers and peach trees and apple trees just for himself. God knew that he was preparing this place for the man and the woman that he was going to put here. The Bible says that God blessed them in verse 22. He says, and God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters and the seas, and let birds multiply in the earth. So the evening and the morning were the fifth day. It says God blessed them. Part of the blessing, I believe, was the privilege of life, the privilege of being animated, the privilege of being a part of God's plan, the blessings to be able to reproduce and of being fruitful and being able to multiply. And that's the same way that God has blessed us, even as believers. God has given us the opportunity to go out and share with others the good news of Jesus Christ. And so we can, in some way, continue to duplicate. The Bible says we are supposed to be disciple makers. We are disciples that are making other disciples. And in that way, God has blessed us. That's day five. Now, day six comes. And God now creates both land animals and man. I believe that man is going to be the summit of God's creation. I say that because once man is created, God creates no more. Last thing that God ever created was man. Man is created actually on the second half of day six, but before man, the earth is going to be filled and populated with animals. Let's take a look at that, verse 24. Then God said, let earth bring forth, that word there is yatsah, it's not bara. We'll look at that. Then God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature according to its kind, cattle and creeping thing and beast of the earth according to its kind, and it was so. And God made the beast of the earth according to its kind, cattle according to its kind, and everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind, and God saw that it was good. There's debate about what it means when it says that, how the earth brought forth animal life, but it's clear from the passage that earth was the substance and material that God used in the creation of animals. So rather than God creating something out of nothing, God is now taking something that has already been created, and from that he is making other things come to pass. When you get to chapter 2, you're going to see this. Out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. So again, God is taking something that already exists, reforming and reshaping it and making it into something else. Just a side note, Bible, again, when you get to chapter 2, you're going to see some of the things that God is doing as he creates these animals. And the Bible says he brings them to Adam to see what he would call them. You ever think about some point in the Bible that you wish, like, I wish I could have been there? You know, like the parting of the Red Sea or Lazarus rising from the dead. Here, for me, it's this, I would love to have been there when God gave Adam the job of creating and naming all the animals. I'd have loved to see that. In my spiritual imagination, I picture Adam sitting on a rock and these animals are just walking by and he gives each one a name. And this one particular animal walks and stands there before Adam. And Adam looks at it and he goes, chicken. my favorite. You'll notice that there are three classes of animals there. There's cattle. Cattle would include domestic animals, animals that can be tamed or used in the service of man, horses, oxen, sheep, donkeys, and so on. Then the next category are creeping things. That's smaller animals, things that glide along on their bellies or creep along, like snakes, worms, ants, insects. Some of these things bother us when we're on a picnic, but God had a reason for making them. Then the third classification are beasts of the field. Those are animals like elephants and wolves and tigers and lions and bears. Oh my. Again, God is a God of variety and a God of purpose, even in the making of the animals. Did you know the reindeers have eyes that can change from brown to blue in order to promote better vision in the dark and Arctic winters? The hippopotamus can produce a secretion on its skin that acts as a natural sunscreen. And we have to buy Neutrogena. Relative to its size, the dung beetle is the strongest animal in the world, capable of pulling over 1,000 times its own body weight. We have dogs that can sniff out drugs. What am I saying? I'm saying that this creation of God is awesome. This creation of God is wonderful. This creation of God is something that we need to take note of, all that God has given to us. The verse says, verse 24, then God said, let. That word let there, it's in the imperative. When God said, let something happen, it means that it must take place. So God said, let the earth bring forth, and it was so. Man, watch this. God gave the earth instructions, and the earth obeyed. How about us? How about when God gives us instructions? When God says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, that's not a suggestion. When God says, pray without ceasing, that's not a suggestion. The things that God has asked us to do, do we respond in the same way as animal life? When God says, let there be, it happens. And so we also need to make sure that when God speaks to us, we're doing what God has told us to do. I have to stress the fact that God and God alone created animal life on earth. Animal life did not just happen. It wasn't some accident. It wasn't some primordial ooze. It wasn't some impersonal force of energy. All animal life was created by God and by God alone. And all three classes of animals were made after their kind. And again, God says that it was good. We come to verse 26. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle and all the earth and every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. Verse 27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created him, male and female, he created them. You go back to verse 11 in chapter 1. Then God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed. When God wanted grass and herbs and seed, God addressed the earth. Verse 14, God says, let there be firmaments, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens. When God wanted the sun, the moon, and the stars, he addressed the heavens. In verse 20, God said, let the waters abound with an abundance of living creatures. When God wanted fish and sea life, he addressed the water. But in verse 26, then God said, let us make man in our own image. When God decided to create man, he addressed himself. Let us. Some teach that us is that royal we. Like if you say, Pastor Sam, that was a great message. And I said, oh, we appreciate that. You know, like that royal we. But I believe that This us is indicative of the Trinity. We've already shown that the three persons of the Trinity existed at creation. So when God said, let us, I believe, again, it is a indication of us that there is a triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who were all present at creation. It says we are made in the image and likeness of God. What does that mean? Well, whatever it means, it certainly distinguishes us from all other life. There's nowhere else that God has said he's made anything in his own image or his own likeness. So what does it mean to be made in the image of God? Is it that man is a triunity, as God is, Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, that we are body, soul, and spirit? Is it that man has intellect and the ability to choose or to reason? Is it that man has a moral compass, which in some way reflects the holiness of God? Is it that man has the ability to choose? Again, there's a lot of debate about what it means to be made in the image of God. And so I'll let you all debate that. But I'll say this. To me, one of the most important aspects of being made in God's image and likeness is that we have the ability, and it enables us to have fellowship and commune with him. This is a more personal creation than God has ever created. This one is different. I don't want to give you a spoiler alert, but when you get to the chapter where it says, and the Lord God formed man, well, that's different than bara. It's different than yatsah. It's the word that literally means, it's over 70 sometimes in the scriptures that word is translated potter. So everything up until this point that God has created, he spoke into existence. But God said, this time, with this, and I'm making this with my own hands, you are important to God. You are special to him. Hebrews chapter 2 says, what is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you take care of him? You have made him a little lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor and set him over all the works of your hands. You have put all things in subjection under his feet. I know sometimes we have a tendency to feel like we're not important. Sometimes we wonder whether we're contributing anything to this world, or what is it that we're really getting accomplished, or why are we really here? But I want to remind you this morning, God loves you, and everything that he created up until this point, he created knowing and he had man in mind. Verse 26, then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. In 1964, the team of Burt Bacharach and Hal David published a song. And the words went like this: a chair is still a chair. You want me to sing it? You know the song? A chair is still a chair, even when there's no one sitting there. But a chair is not a house. And a house is not a home unless there's someone there. God was creating a home for us, a place where he knew we were going to be able to have fellowship with him. Now, the reality is, being made in God's image, listen, when Adam was created, man, that was a whole different thing than we see now. I mean, man is fallen. The Bible says even creation groans. And so what we see and experience today is not what God saw and what Adam experienced. But there was a time when man was created in the image of God that God was saying to him, this now is your home. And God says that I want you now to have dominion and authority over it. Here's the thing we miss about dominion and authority. There's a part of dominion and authority that is stewardship. The Bible says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The fact that God gave us, told us to have dominion over the animals and the fish and the land, the reality is that that is an authority that is given to us under the authority of God. So a part of this authority is stewardship. God expects us to take care of what he has given us. We're to be stewards of what God has given us. Now, I know this world is not our ultimate home, but for right now, it's the place that God has given us to do what he has called for us to do. Last week, John talked about, you know, why are we so afraid of global warming? Because reality, we shouldn't be afraid of anything because God is still on the throne and God is taking care of things. But I'm sure that John would agree with me that we have a responsibility to care for those things that God has given us. We're caretakers and we are made in the image of God. And so the question that I ask myself is, does God misuse his creation? No. Is God unwise with his management of resources? No. Is God ever cruel or selfish or wasteful? No. Then the reality is that we ought not be either. This land that God gave us, this planet that God gave us, and he says to have dominion over it. Man, look what we have done to this planet. Some of the animals that God created are now facing extinction because of us. Look what we've done to the waters and to the air. And again, God is still in control, but that does not negate our responsibility to care for those things that God has given us. With the authority comes the responsibility to rule well. Man has a duty to exercise his dominion under the authority of the God who delegated it. So being made in God's image, we ought to reflect God's character. We ought to reflect what God did in creation. Again, I say that there was structure and there was symmetry. Structure is a plan. We need to live our lives according to a plan. God has something for you to accomplish. God gifted you for the things that he wanted you to accomplish. So your life should have some structure. We shouldn't just be getting up every day and, you know, happenstance, like, you know, whatever happens, happens. There's a plan for your life. There's some things God wants you to do. There's some things God wants you to get accomplished. And so being made in his image, you should want to follow that plan in the same way that God planned everything that he did. If you see the progression of creation, our lives should have structure. Our lives should have balance and harmony. Yeah, I know there's a lot of things you got to do. You got family and you got work and you got ministry and so many other things and the pursuits that you want to do for yourself. And there's things that you need to do and get accomplished. And you also need to have some rest. But our life should have some balance. We have to put some things into priority. There's some things at a particular time are more important than other things. Yes, I have a wife and I love her, but there's some things that God has called me to do that are more important at that particular time than me being her husband. I said to the folks a couple of weeks ago, I have a list of things that are important for me in my life. Your list may be different. At the top of that list is that I'm a son of God. I'm a child of God. I'm an heir of the king. That's the most important thing to me. Now, the thing on my list right after that is I'm Cindy's husband. Well, being Cindy's husband doesn't trump being a child of God. And so as Cindy's husband, I am not going to do, nor should I do, anything that goes against me being a child of God. Listen, I thank God that I am a black African-American man. But on my list of priorities, that's way down near the bottom. Why? Because there's some things that are so much more important, even during this Black History Month, there are things that are more important than my race and my ethnicity. And so my life has to have some balance. The things that are important to God need to be important to me. Why? Because I'm made in the image of God, and I should reflect God's character in everything that I say and do and how I live my life. Verse 27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Oh, man. Boy, I tell you, I don't know if you're getting this like I got it. I don't know if God is impressing it upon you the way that he impressed it upon me. And if that's not the case, don't blame God, just blame the servant. But I just want you to know this morning that this study in the book of Genesis is going to begin to open up your life in ways that are going to expand you, expand your knowledge of God and why he put you here and what his purpose was for all that he has done. And I'll leave you with this. You are the crown of God's creation. The Bible says we're just a little bit lower than the angels. So with all the beautiful birds and all the beautiful flowers and all the beautiful sea life, God loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten son that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. It was all done for us. God loves us so very, very much and wants us to be a reflection of him in the world. Let's pray. Thank you for your word, Father. Thank you for this study through the book of Genesis. Thank you for what we learn from this book of beginnings, from this gospel according to the book of Genesis. Thank you what we learn about your light. We thank you about your balance. Thank you for what we learn, Lord, as we look at creation and just see step by step, Lord, how you do things in order. Thank you, Lord, that you have given us the responsibility and the authority and the stewardship, Lord, over this. We commit, Lord, to being good stewards of all that you've given us. Even the creation of time. You existed outside of time and you created time and we exist in time and we want to be good stewards of our time and of all of our resources. Everything that you've placed, Lord, here for us to enjoy and to be over dominion. We ask now your blessings, Lord, upon these, your people. Pray, Father, that you will continue to meet their needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Continue to encourage and strengthen them. Pray that you'll continue to uphold this local assembly, Lord, and all that they're going through. Lord, letting them know that the same God who spoke the universe into existence is the God that oversees the affairs of their lives. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. God bless.